Genesis chapter 6. Today I was looking at the topic of resolve to stand. And in Genesis chapter 6, I got thinking about this when I was reading about Noah. Interesting times back in the days of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he," this is talking about the man, Adam, "for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." That's referring to Adam, not all men. "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown." That's mighty in wickedness. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." That's pretty, probably as bad as it can get. Pretty bad, like every man. Evil continually, you know, maybe a little good here and there, but generally going back to evil. So the entire world, and I was thinking about this, but verse 7, "The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And I got thinking, what a lonely life it must have been for Noah. There was nobody else on the face of the earth that God was even remotely pleased with. Nobody. So, you know, you get to thinking about our situation in life when we stand. Sometimes, to me, you get the sense that there's nobody in the world who wants to believe the word. You know, you get to thinking, you know, you witness people, you talk to people, and it seems like, you know, what's the point? You know, a few of us believe, or a few here and scattered out throughout the world. And that's really been the way it's been since Genesis. It started off this way, where God said, look, I don't see anything. And even Noah, it says he found grace, right? Doesn't mean, you know, Noah was a just man, a wonderful man. It wasn't perfect, but he found grace, and God chose to have grace upon him. But I got thinking, you know, sometimes, you know, a bunch of guys get together, or they have a fellowship, and they hang out and talk about things, and, well, what did Noah do? Everybody was evil continually. That's what they thought about. It was must have been very lonely for him, if you think about his life. Verse 9, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Chapter 7, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." He was the only one that he saw righteous. Sometimes you even think his family made it by proxy, just because of Noah. Certainly we see some things with his children that aren't so great afterwards either, but here he was, one man. And how many years, how long did it take him to build that ark? Over 100 years. So for during that 100 years, what kind of rich fellowship did he enjoy with other men on the earth? Probably hardly any, right? You know, you start thinking about the resolve for you and I to stand in this world. It takes a lot to stand for God. It's not easy. But boy, is it worth it? If Noah hadn't stood, we wouldn't be here, right? If he had said, you know, what's the point? Nobody ever believes my right preaching. Nobody ever listens to me. Here I am, 100 years. What's the point of all this? But he stood. He stood for those years, year after year after year after year. And I could say it 100 times. And he stood. You know, what's the worth of one man's life? What's the worth of your life to God? Certainly the adversary will talk you out of thinking that you have any worth when it comes to God. But what's the worth of your life? Look, 1 Kings chapter 22. How hard is it to be a believer sometimes? Or most times? 1 Kings chapter 22. It says, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. This time, the king of Israel is Ahab, another wonderful person. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? So, the king of Israel wants to fight. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horse as thy horses. Of course, let's go. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Before we do this, let's ask if it's the right thing to do. And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, 400 prophets. About 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. You got to read these records in the point of, try to think what that means if it was happening in today's culture. What would this mean? It's interesting. This is a major decision here. You're talking about the two major kingdoms in that part of the world, and they're deciding whether they should go to battle. Verse 7. So all the prophets said, Yeah, let's go. This is great. It's of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides? Is there anybody here who's actually speaking for the Lord? You get the sense in this record that Jehoshaphat knew that it probably wasn't the right thing to do. And it doesn't say it, but you wonder why he would say that. Why would he say, after 400 prophets of the Lord, so-called Lord, had said, yeah, it's right to go. And he says, isn't there a prophet of the Lord here? Why would he ask that question? That we might inquire of him. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, yeah, there is. See, even that guy knew that those guys weren't prophets of the Lord. They were speaking so for the Lord, and yet they were in that position to be prophets for the Lord, and they're speaking for the Lord. And as far as the rest of the kingdom might have known, these are the prophets of the Lord. How many people today say they speak for God? And the things of God, and they make decisions in the world, they think they're for God, but they're not making decisions for God. And it's no different. Right? It's hard to stand and be a true believer in the Word of God. And you see it time and time again. This record here is no different. Look at this. And the king said, yeah, there's one guy named Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Right? For he doesn't prophesy good concerning me. He never says anything good about me. So you might wonder, he's speaking for the Lord, and you know he speaks for the Lord, never says anything good about you. You might want to think about your life. But evil. And Jehoshaphat said, oh, no, don't talk like that. Let not the king say so. The king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither Micaiah, the son of Imlah. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat on each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied. They're still prophesying. They're doing their little show. And Zedekiah, this guy is the Broadway guy, the son of Chananiah, made him horns of iron. So he went and actually fashioned these horns, put them on his head, and said, Thus said the Lord, with thee shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. Really, really sincere, very adamant that this was the word of the Lord. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the king shall deliver into the king's hand. Yes, this is great. It's going to be wonderful. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now the words of the prophets. You know what those 400 guys are saying. Take heed. Now declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Right? You say exactly what they're saying. I don't care if the Bible doesn't talk about the Trinity. You believe in the Trinity, okay? Because we all do. Right? You should believe that. That's what I want you to do. Right? That's the pressure of life here. You hear it all the time. Your kids hear it. Our kids hear it. Of course Jesus Christ is God. Everybody else believes it. Why don't you believe it? You just say he's God and we'll be all happy and you can come to our church. Right? That's exactly what's happening here. He's saying, Micaiah, listen, those 400 guys over there are saying this. I want you to say the same thing. And verse 14, Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord shall say to me, that's what I'm going to say. Right? You think it's easy for him to do this? Right? He's the only one. And everybody, And he says, okay, so he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he said, yeah, go. Go for it. Go and prosper. I'd love to have been there to watch this scene. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not what I told you? He wouldn't prophesy anything good but evil. I told you that. Why'd you even bring him here? Right. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. The Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this matter, another said on this matter. And there came forth a spirit and stood forth before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said, well, how? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. All 400 possessed with a lying spirit. Wow. And they were all against this one little guy named Micaiah. Right? You think it's easy to stand? You think times are that different today? You think where you find yourself day by day in life amongst the people of the world or that you go, that is very different? You think maybe we're not surrounded by a tide of unbelief in our day and time? And that pressure's on you constantly? And therefore, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning me. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek. He smacked him in the face and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Right? It's that lying spirit which we have, and it was the spirit of the Lord. And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him away back into Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. Right. In other words, you're going to die. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. Right. You know, it wasn't easy. He could have just said, go. What difference would it have made? The result would have been the same for the outcome of the battle. And he would have been in favor with the society. He wouldn't have been stuck in prison. He wouldn't have been fed this stuff. He would have been just perfect. Why not just cave in? You think it was easy for him to do that? Nobody, was anybody with him? No one on the record says, yeah, Micaiah, go. That's the right thing to say. The other guy said, you know, he smote him in the face, slapped him. The other guy, they throw him in jail now. Yet he stood. Now, how hard is it to stand in the face of this kind of stuff? Judges chapter 1, 7. You know, you'll find, and we guys know this, back in Judges chapter 7, that believers end up running up against the grain of society all the time. If we don't, you might be wanting to look at what we're doing, what we're thinking about. Right? Because society certainly doesn't run grain of God's word most of the time, right? Or is it that we just conform? I don't want to be like everybody else, don't want to cause any waves. That's fine, that's my decision, right? Don't want to cause any ripples, don't want to swim against the current, because for the most of life you're swimming against the current, because the current of life is not with the word of God. It just isn't. Don't ever expect it to be. It's not going to be until the Lord comes back, right? It's not going to happen. So if you find yourself feeling alone sometimes, a little tired maybe, frustrated, you know, not, you know, concerned that things just aren't going the way I want them to go, you're in good company. We all feel the same way. That's the way believers have felt for thousands of years. Judges chapter 7, verse 1. And Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early. You guys know the story of Gideon, and you know, God called him when he was called and when he was in the threshing floor and he was hiding and threshing grain because he was a little bit afraid of the Midianites and things that were happening around him. But God called him, you're a mighty man of valor, come up and give me a hand. He goes, I'm not a mighty man of valor. Oh, just come on up and help me. You know, that's not exactly the word for word, but when it comes to him here, when they're about to go, he says, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. So the host of Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. So there was 32,000 of these people that were with Gideon. And he said, that's way too many. There was already many more of the Midianites than that already. So they were already outnumbered by quite a bit into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hands have saved me. God did not want any, you know, pride here. Now therefore go up proclaim in the ears of people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And their return of the people, 22,000. So 32,000 minus 30, we're down to about 10,000. And there, oh, there it says right there, there remain 10,000. God's accounting. Don't want to question that one. The 10,000 left. Now we're down 10,000 of all people that were going to fight with him against a horde, a massive horde. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. You know, Gideon, your mom was thinking, okay, come on, God, this is getting a little silly. He's already afraid, right? The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go with thee. Go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. So Chess, you guys are aware of this record. You know, some drinking with a cup of their hand, lapping. Some guys kneeling down on all fours and lapping with the water. Everyone boweth down his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, you know, were taking the water like this, drinking it, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down their knees to drink water. And, you know, as we've been taught before and I've seen that, those are the ones that most likely were used to bowing down to Baal on all hands and knees and bowing regularly. So those were not going to be men that he wanted to go with Gideon. So here, verse 7, the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. That is less than 0.01% of all the people that were with Gideon were going to go. Right? That's a very low percentage. Right? So here you have 300 men that God says are going to go. Right? They were all there. You know, it didn't limit God any. We're not going to read the rest of the record. You guys know the record. It didn't limit God any, did it? But these were the people that were living in society. They were there. They were there every day. They were doing their thing to Baal, maybe being called believers, maybe doing what. In the middle of them, you had these people who were, you know, really believed God. Again, you see, it's never been, there's 50 million people or a nation are going crazy and they love, you don't see it. And this time here, a very few, right? Did Jesus Christ fit in with society? Right. That's a you know, pretty alarming thing. But just think about that. He didn't fit in, not at all. You want to talk about going against the grain of society? Wow. Second Timothy chapter 1. Remember Elijah? We're not going to read the record, but what did he? He was later, you know. Back here was 0.01% back in the Judges. Elijah is in the time of the kings. You know, 0.01% of those men, not necessarily all of Israel. But what did Elijah say? He said, "You know, I'm the only one left." He had gotten to the point that's what he felt like. I mean, it wasn't the truth, but you know, sometimes you feel like you're the only one left. That's how Elijah felt. He goes, I'm the only one. Thought, you know, no, God, no, I want to die. And God says, yeah, okay, and I understand your situation. I have one more thing for you to do, but after that, you know, feel free. So he had him anoint Elisha and so forth and the king. But just to think that he went to it, and God says, I do have 7,000 men who haven't bowed the knee to the image of Baal. How many were in Israel at the time? A lot. It's only 7,000? Can you imagine today if we said there's 7,000 people in Canada that are still true believers? it's interesting how, you know, where you don't find true believing in volumes in the Word. There have been revivals, we know that. There have been places, you know, when the Word of God prevailed, remember, in the first century church? And yet we're going to read this record in 2 Timothy. It prevailed, yeah, it did prevail. And yet what happened? 2 Timothy, yeah, chapter 1, you guys know this record. Second Timothy, where am I going here? Chapter 2. Is that where I'm going? I think I'm in the wrong chapter. Hang on a second here. Just give me a second here. Did I say First Timothy? I want to go 2 Timothy. It is 2 Timothy. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah, 2 Timothy, chapter 1. I was in the wrong chapter. Verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. This is Paul later. This is after the word of God had prevailed so mightily. Miracles, signs, and wonders have been done. And now here he says, even during his lifetime, he says, all they in Asia be turned away from me. You know, you see it time and time again. So near the end of his life, the Apostle Paul, who gave us, essentially, the revelation to the first century church that we live and breathe and fashion our lives by, in his lifetime, he wasn't alone, but pretty alone, pretty much lonely walk in his life. How hard do you think it was for him to have seen the Word of God prevail? So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. To see believers in churches and to see the, you know, miracles and signs and wonders happening. And now, near the end of his life, to say, they've all turned away from me. It's not easy. It's not an easy walk, nor are there pressures few out there, right? They're not. We should read these records and say, oh, okay, you know, I see what's happening. So if I ever feel that way, I'm going to go back to here and say, okay, I see what's happening. You know, I'm not going to let it happen to me. Right? Jesus Christ said, when I come back, am I going to find faith in the earth? We ought to be able to say, yeah, you will. If I'm here, you're going to find it. But it's not easy. So don't ever kid yourself. Verse 15, 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Nicephorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. So this guy came into the prison and took care of Paul. He wasn't afraid to be seen with the prisoner. You know, the jailbird, Paul, the guy done for tax evasion or whatever, you know? Not tax evasion, shekel evasion. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many other things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. And singling out this one man who took care of him. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace, and so forth, right? So he tells Timothy, you know, you hang in there despite what's going on here. Romans chapter 12. You know, even remember when he came back to Jerusalem after his journeys there? Even the men that stood with him, like James, leadership, what were they excited about? They were excited about the fact that people had gone back to religion. Even, you know, mighty grew, does all the miracles, signs, and wonders, comes to James, and James says, oh, well, these guys, they're all zealous for the law. Isn't that great, Paul? I can't imagine. What kind of lonely walk do you think that was? After all he had taught, all he had done, all he had seen, all that he had, you know, and yet they say that. You know, it's like today, you know, if a person hears God's word and knows the truth of the word, and they go, yeah, I think I'll go back to the church. You know, I might as well. You know, why not? How can you do that? How can you go away from this truth to having the hogwash that is preached at most pulpits today? It's not even, you know, it's not even good regurgitated food, right? Some of it's just downright lies. You hear it all the time. I do. I turn the radio on once in a while to CHR. I listen to the preachers. Yeah, I admit it. Not for long, usually, right? Because sooner or later, they cross some stupid line. They start going down this line and go, come on. Not always. But You know, how can you go back? You know, the reason I say this is because your life and what you know from the truth, you know, Dale, you were talking about the days of the last. No one knows that stuff. No one even bothers to know that stuff, and yet you know it. Do you understand how important your singular life is, wherever you end up being, whatever you do? Do you understand how important it is to God? Like, it's unbelievable. Don't ever, you know, don't let the adversary ever talk you out of that angle of your life to recognize how important you're. You might think, well, I'm not really doing anything. What am I doing? How can I possibly have a new... You think Gideon, he was stretching in a hole in the ground saying, get away, Midianites. You know, Elijah, I'm the only one left, he said. Paul, I did everything I did my whole life, and yet everybody's turned away from me. Jesus Christ, did he ever do anything wrong to anybody? Did he? What did he do? He blessed people, healed them, comforted them, taught them, and they crucified him. The world took him, brutally tortured him, and killed him, right? That's what the world does to people who believe God's word. So you're in good company if you feel that way. So don't ever get discouraged. Just look at what the word says. You know, Romans 12 is good for us here to remember. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. You know, dare to be Micaiah, right? Dare to be Noah, Elijah, Jesus Christ, Paul, men. You have, you know, this many more examples. Let's dare to be like those and not be, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and perfect, acceptable and perfect will of God, which we find in His Word, written by revelation by a man who himself was left alone at the end of his life. Right. So we're in good company if we feel that way. Let's not be discouraged. Let's continue, and we'll close in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews. You guys know this chapter too. The won't read the whole chapter, but I just wanted to read a couple of verses. You know, these men, some of these men we read about just briefly, we ought not care. I don't care. We ought not care about what anybody thinks of us or thinks of them. All I ever concerned about, and we should take heed to what Paul said, what does God think? That's what I want to know. What does God think of your life or my life? And here, the report card of the unbelievers and people in the Old Testament wasn't good, right? They all said, you're an idiot. Now go away. You know, where did the Spirit of God come from? Me to go to you. What the hell is wrong with you? You know, Noah, no one even sided with Noah. Yeah, what does God say? Chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith, or believing, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. That's, they chose to believe God, and as far as God was concerned, that is good. They got a good report card. God's record of their lives was, you believed me. And that's what the rest of that whole chapter we said. You know, it says in verse 7, by believing Noah. We just read a little bit about Noah. Noah did what he did by believing God, right? Prepared an ark, right? And by that he judged the world, and then talks about Abraham and Moses. You know, Moses talks about in here how he didn't want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but chose the reproach of Christ because he saw a day. Abraham saw a day that was coming. He knew. They looked forward, and they chose to believe God. Paul the Apostle, Jesus Christ had already come, yet he was still able to live like one of them because he sees a day when Jesus Christ is coming again, right? That's the same for us. The same as these believers just stood. They stood and they stood and they stood. And, you know, verse 32. And what shall I more say if the time would fail me to tell of Gideon? We just read a little bit. Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. We didn't read about all these men, but sure, they're all there. Who through faith, they believed God, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Man, what a great life as a Christian, eh? But that's what happens, right? When we take a stand and go against the grain of society, of whom the world was not worthy, because the world doesn't go that way, right? They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and these all having obtained a good report. As God, far as God was concerned, yeah, he must have broken his heart to see them go through some of this stuff. But his record, you believe me, that is good. You're my beloved son or beloved daughter, you believed me. And he gave them a good record. Through faith received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And then if we ever get problems, chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset, and it does. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Right? So God says, yeah, you know, look at all these wonderful believers who believe me, who chose the truth over convenience, over comfort. They chose to stand on the truth of God's word. And if you guys ever get tired, God says, you consider Jesus Christ, did the same thing. And look what he went through. You don't have to go through that because he went through it on your behalf. So just consider him if you ever get tired, right? So let's resolve to stand. Let's stand like these men who are our forefathers in believing God and taking a stand for the one true God. Let's not be discouraged when all things seem to be against us, or we seem to be the only ones. It seems like we're the only ones, or everybody's against us. All right, let's resolve to stand on his word. Amen.